take place there in Mexico and in the fields that we're in that are discouraging. Things that try on us. And this is an opportunity to see that there's a church that really is interested that the gospel is preached and concerned for the well-being of the missionaries that it sends out. And also know that it's a needed exercise that we go through every year for the church. It's a needed exercise because we get distracted. And everyday things of life just get in the way. And we need to just sit down for a few days, for a few meetings, and reconsider what is really important in this life and what is what we really live for. And that brings into the message that I want to bring this morning. And that do we really want the spiritual blessings of God? We say amen and we say so, but do our lives really show that? I was been really fascinated by a short part of Abraham's life and his story, and I began to read and study through that through the last month or so, and I wondered just how much Abraham wanted the blessing of God. He was in a very unique situation for that day and age. God came to him and God gave him a promise. And he believed the promise of God, and it said it was imputed to him righteousness. What a marvelous thing that just believing what God had said to be true would provide him with righteousness before God. No different than you and I today as Christians and believers. We believe the promise of this book, and God gave us righteousness. He came to where we were. He came to the point in our lives when we were in sin. We didn't have to go through the religious rigmarole and get ourselves cleaned up and presentable to God. He came to us and said, here's the promise. And by believing, simply believing in the promise that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our sins, we became sons of God, forgiven and partakers of the blessings of salvation. But as I read through Abraham, that was the very first step. Just as you and I, our salvation is the first step. It is not where God planned to end with us. He has blessings far beyond salvation. He can do much more than we can even ask or think. And he wants to bless us with spiritual blessings and fill our lives and make us a blessing to others. Just as he said to Abraham. But with that came some conditions. And with that came some responsibilities. Those opportunities of those blessings had more involved than what our first step into salvation took place. If you would, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 12 and let's read a few verses and see what God had told Abraham to do, and we'll see some of the things that he did do and didn't do. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. If you would, jump down to verse 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord. And he appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto the mountain, unto the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. The first thing I want to show you that, something that I learned when we was in the old building years ago, and a missionary came through that wasn't even our church, and he taught me something that I'll never forget. He said that many times, most times, sin is geographical. You're in sin because of where you are. You're in the wrong place. And sin is presented to you, and the temptation is there. And many times it's because we fall into sin. Well, I want to say to this morning that your blessing is geographical. There's some places that you can be and shouldn't be to be blessed of God. God desired to bless Abraham, and the first thing he told him, he says, get thee out of thy country. There's some things in the country of Abraham that were impeding him. Now, he wasn't just some piker that just started out. He was 75 years old. It says that it was his country. He may have been the king of the place. I don't know. But he was there in his country. He no doubt had a house and he had possessions. He had servants. This man was established. Respect in the land. And God says, for me to bless you the way that I want to bless you, you need to leave your country. And I begin to think of the things that we need to leave, that you need to leave. There's things that you cannot do and cannot have if you really desire the blessing of God. There's jobs that you can't take. There's jobs you have to quit. There's jobs that are going to impede you from being faithful to God's work and to His ministry. Oh, but it provides me well and I can give good. I tell you, brothers and sisters, God has a blessing far greater than any economic value. God told Abraham, you get out of the place that you spent 75 years establishing yourself because it will impede you from receiving the blessings that I have for you. There's careers. I know people that have studied years and years and their goal is to have this career. You better examine your career, brothers and sisters. Does that career impede you from following the Lord, from being blessed of the Lord, from being a blessing to others? There's some careers and some occupations that demand that you live in a life just a little bit tainted. You just can't be completely honest. You just can't completely to compete in this career. You can't be just completely pure and outright before other men because this career has some requirements that cause you to take your convictions, your God-given, biblical-founded convictions and put them aside. Careers are some of the things that we need to examine and leave. Business associates. He said, don't be unequally yoked together. And we always apply that to the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and I'll touch on that. But what about your business associates? In a business association with someone else, and you're making decisions together, and he's not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not going to have the same control and the same guidance, and the Lord is going to refrain from that blessing that he has for you. The blessings of God are to those that obey him, and he said, get thee out of thy country. There's schools you can't go to. We have a situation in Mexico where the idea is that the best schools for their children are the Catholic schools. They say they have the best teaching and the best facilities and there's the most opportunities. And once they get out, they have bigger doors and broader opportunities because they went to these Catholic schools. And these men and women, they get saved, they get convicted of the lies of the Catholic Church, of the doctrine, and they come out and they even stand in the street and preach the gospel and they show their friends and their neighbors and they stand against everyone that's Catholic and yet when it comes down to putting their child in a school, they send them to the Catholic school. And then a few years later they say, well, why is it that my son has an unsaved girlfriend? Why is it that they want to baptize my grandbaby? The blessing of God is restrained because of decisions we make every single day. Day after day we decide things that decide whether we truly want the blessing of God or are we seeking after the blessings of this world. There's boyfriend and girlfriend you can't have, young people. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend does not encourage you to holiness, to a godly life, to morality, you're in the wrong relationship. It doesn't even matter if they're Christian or not. If they don't encourage you to be a moral and a godly person, you're in the wrong relationship. There's more to this life than following your wicked heart. Your heart is deceitful and completely wicked. You don't even understand the depths of the wickedness in your own self, and yet you think that your heart's going to lead you correctly. The Word of God demands that you live a pure and holy life, and as you start to make these relationships that should last for a lifetime in this world, make those relationships with people that encourage you and press you forward to holiness and godliness. That's the decision that says, I seek the blessing of God. I prefer to be blessed of God than all the blessings that I can accumulate here on this earth through any other means. There's hobbies that you need to be careful with. There's hobbies you can't have. There's things that we do to entertain ourselves that just distract us and take us away from God's place and God's blessing. The Bible says that to abstain from all appearance of evil. Many times we want to divide our line of what we can do and can't do very, very much in our favor. And this is sin because it's obvious, and this here is in my Christian liberty. There's things that just appear to others, and it damages the testimony, and it impedes us from being what God says here. He wanted Abraham that he shall bless all the families of the earth. Your blessing to all the families of the earth depends on a testimony that's impeccable. And that demands a scrutiny of your activities, from your habits to your friends to your relationships and business to the very places where you go to be educated. Your jobs and careers are things that we have to leave. You know, there's some places we have to go to. It says here that in the last part of verse 1, and he said, unto the land that I'll show you. The Lord is showing us some places we need to be. And the prime example and the most obvious is the church of God. God in his wisdom has provided an organism of the believers that trust in his name to meet together for the purpose of edifying and glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying one another, rebuking one another. And yet most people menospreciar, they don't appreciate this great wisdom of God, and the church has become second to all the other things in our lives. God told Abraham to go to the country that he would show him, and when he got there, he built an altar and called on the Lord. And then he built his tent there in that land and built an altar, and he called upon the Lord, and he put himself in the land where God had placed him. God has put us in a tremendous congregation. I and my youth and up till I was 30 years old were in religion, was in other groups, and they were Christian people. But my, the truth was so far from true. What they taught wasn't true. The doctrine, the ability to be a part of a church that functions and should function. I never knew what the open meeting was or the importance that each and every person have something to share. I didn't realize that that's how one himself grows, is being prepared to give what the Lord gave. So many things that we take for granted here in this very congregation, we're trading off for physical and carnal blessings. And even though we say, yes, we want the spiritual blessings of the Lord, it's not really true when we get right down and examine the decisions we make day to day. We sacrifice the meetings of the church to be more economically situated. You know, there's a doctrine out there, it's called the prosperity gospel, that's preached in nearly every church. And I want to say to you this morning, that's a true statement. There is a prosperity gospel. But the problem is, religion got it backwards. My definition of the prosperity gospel is God will test your spiritual resolve with worldly prosperity. The things that you think are of God because it's a better paycheck, because it's a bigger house, because it's a better car, are many times the very tests. Do you really want spiritual blessings? Are you more interested in all these worldly things? We have people in Mexico that have stood up and said they wanted to be missionaries, and God's called them to this other town to be missionaries. And how do you know God called you? Well, they offered me a better job over there. And I can go there, and I can make more money, and they're going to give me a car to drive, and I'll start a church while I'm there. That wasn't God calling you. That was God testing you. Are you going to be where God puts you, or are you going to chase after economic value? Those that truly surrender and do the will of God, it usually costs them. It costs them. They give up jobs. They go with uncertainties. They don't have the securities that they had once had. The call of God comes with it a test of prosperity gospel. Are you going to be prosperous in this life? Is that what your goal is? Or are you going to give up any opportunity of prosperity to serve me and seek spiritual blessings? God will test your spiritual resolve with worldly prosperity. You know, another thing I wanted to mention about all this, and you say, well, that's fine and dandy, but you know, I live to myself and I'll take my consequences. But there's a promise in Exodus 20. And I think it's an insight of God's thinking. If you turn to Exodus 20, I'd like to show you. This is one of our big verses we preach in Mexico that about idolatry and that you should not make any graven images. But in Exodus 20, verse 5, it gives us an insight of the thinking of God. It says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. You don't live to yourself, brothers and sisters. Your decisions, however small you might think they are at this moment, choosing carnal blessings is going to have a consequences on your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Why is it that my son, all he wants to do is chase after this almighty dollar? You looked at your life lately. Have you looked at what you live for? Have you looked at the example you gave him? And God is going to visit your wickedness up to four generations. I take this as a promise of judgment upon those that choose earthly blessings over the spiritual blessings. He's a jealous God. He wants his people, his children, to give their lives to him. And then you go to what I think is one of Abraham's biggest mistakes. It says in verse 10 of Genesis 12, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land." God sent him to a land. And Abraham himself said, "This is where I'm going to stay." He pitched his tent. "This is my home." He built an altar. He's calling on the Lord. And things got uncomfortable. There was a famine in the land. And I don't see the Lord sending Abraham over to Egypt. I see Abraham saying, "This isn't comfortable. I'm getting out of here." You look through the albums back there. You ones that are newer here. You look through the albums and you will see scores of people that aren't here anymore. What happened? These ones that you see in the albums, they were faithful participants of this congregation in their giving, in their sharing of the word, of the ministry. They had ministries preaching the gospel in many different areas. Where have they gone? What's happened? I contend there became grievous times. There came a famine. They didn't like some situations. That was great when they was preaching on Brother Lindelson, but when they started on their own, it was a problem. There's famine in the land, and once again, I return to my definition of prosperity gospel. God will use adversity to test your resolve. You take away prosperity, you're going to stay when it's not, doesn't look so prosperous, when it's not so convenient? Are you going to stay in your tent and keep calling on the Lord when even in the famine in your life? Over and over again, people have said there's San Antonio is the lowest paying place in the whole world. I mean, nobody pays less than here in San Antonio and in Dallas and this city and that city, and they leave here to go for economic gain because of the famine in San Antonio, and they lose out on the spiritual blessing. I've been here a while, and it hurts to say that. I'm showing my age. I'm one of the old timers, but so many have left because they wanted a financial gain. And don't think you can fool God and say, "When I'm there, I'm going to do something for the Lord." It doesn't happen that way. The blessing of God is taken from you when you don't obey Him. When you don't set your tent and you call on the Lord where He's put you. We don't have the option to decide where we're going to be. And He will test you and test you. He's looking for a people that He can bless. You know, God promised Abraham this tremendous blessing when he was 75, and he's 100 years old before he holds in his arms the firstborn of that promise. Why 25 years? Why did it take 25 years? I think, Abraham, He promised you. He's a God that can do all things. Why did it take 25 years? God wasn't ready? No, Abraham wasn't ready. Abraham left the very place God put him to receive the blessing. Another thing, as you go through the story, you see that not only did he go to Egypt, but there the true Abraham, the human Abraham, came forth. He became a sinvergüenza, as they call it in Spanish. This guy, without shame, offers up his wife so that it goes better with himself. He said, "Man, they're going to like you, and they're going to kill me to get you. You just go tell a lie. You go tell them that you're my sister, and things will go well with me. And, you know, you just save me." He shoved Sarah off to be one of the concubines of the king, and he became very wealthy. He said it was added unto him while he was there in Egypt. And the Lord, in His mercy, took Abraham and Sarah and got them kicked out of Egypt with all that they had gained, all that Abraham had gained through his lie and his conniving. That tells me a big story. Don't think because you're prospering, you're in the will of God. There is no way in the world that Abraham was doing right by lying and offering up his wife. There's no way. He was in sin. He was out of the place God had placed him. He was chasing after economic gain. God will test your spiritual resolve, brothers and sisters, with prosperity. It'd been so easy. Man, let's do that again. I've doubled my wealth, we double it again, and I can retire. We need to be very careful that we're not distracted and we're not deceived by the prosperity. We need to be very careful that we truly seek after the spiritual blessings of God. And these are all temptations and these are all trials that God will allow in your life to test if you really want spiritual blessings. The only way to really know is to be immersed in the Word of God, be guided by the Word of God. Our adversary is extremely subtle. And he's going to open a door, and it's going to look so beautiful. You better look behind that door. So many times a door opens up in your life, and there's a raise, and there's more prestige, and there's everything that you've hoped and dreamed for this physical life. But you're going to have to sacrifice the blessings of God. We're in a mission conference, and we're looking for the blessing of God. It's going to take some fortitude on our part to say, Lord, I will not be deceived. I want the spiritual blessings. I will not love myself and care for myself to the point that you cannot bless me. Don't bathe your conscience and your spiritual understanding with the lie that economic prosperity is proof of spiritual correctness. Do you really want spiritual blessing? And then he said something else in verse 1 in the middle. He says, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. It's a marvelous thing when the whole family follows the Lord, when they truly are dedicated to the Lord. When mama and papa and the kids and grandma and grandpa, it's a marvelous thing, but it isn't happening these days. Families are being divided and separated out. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 10:34. Matthew 10:34, a verse that prosperity gospel people don't like to read, don't like the implications. 10:34 says, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. There's times when you're going to have to leave your family. How many times did it happen that your unsaved brother or sister showed up with their family at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and said, hey, let's go to the park today? You got a choice. You just seek the blessings of God and be faithful to His blessings, or you're going to offend your brother and say, sorry, I got a responsibility this morning. I'm going to be with the Church of God. There's situations passing right now in the midst of us missionaries that our children aren't following the same road. It breaks their heart, and it's a sad thing. We're going to stay back behind and say, well, we'll lose out on the blessing of God, or we're going to say, I'm going on with the Lord, and we're going to have to leave some people behind. It happens, and it's happening. Your spiritual blessing depends on where you are. It depends on who you're with. It depends on your conviction to seek after spiritual blessings rather than the physical prosperity of this life. The peace with the family. How much are you willing to give up of God's blessing to have peace with your family? Abraham, classic example. He takes Lot with him. He wasn't told to take Lot. He was told not to take Lot. He said, no, don't take your father's house. Don't take your brother's son. But he took him anyway. Turns out, and through the whole story, Lot becomes the father of two nations who to this day are still the enemies of Israel. And not only that, there became a conflict between the shepherds of Lot and Abraham. You know the story. And there they are. They're having this problem. And so Abraham divides half of the land that God gave him to give to Lot for peace in the family. He says, you know what? This great blessing that God gave me isn't as important as peace with you, Lot. He says, Lot, you take the half you want, and let's not have any friction. Let's not have any problem here. You take half, and I'll take the other half. And he gave up half of God's blessing to him and all his seed. And you wonder why there's still war going on over a piece of ground over in Jerusalem? They got a legal right to it. Think about it. Abraham gave Lot half of it. There's still a war going on. And now, and it's my feeling, it's my belief that it started right there. Abraham says, I'm willing to give up half of this. Just to have peace. There's a verse in James that says that you seek first purity and then peace. We need to be pure before the Lord. Peace is second, even with your own children, with your mom and dad. It's costly in this life, but we said we wanted spiritual blessing. We need to even be willing to separate from our own families. You say, but if I, my testimony to them, I want to show them that I'm still love them and show them the real testimony that you are going to be with the Lord and have His blessing above anything else. Show them that you have a reason to live for. Show them that you have a reason to live for. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and receive His blessing. And in that, you can be a blessing to all nations. That's what His mission conference is about. Is we want to be a blessing to the families of all the nations as Abraham was promised to be. But how is that going to happen? If we don't have the blessing of God, the power of God poured out upon us, it's not going to take place. We're going to be in strife and turmoil the rest of our days because we sought after peace and prosperity rather than purity and spirituality. I kind of like to do something this morning. Let's say that our great teacher came in today and he says, today's a test day. Today's a time we're going to have a test of whether you really want spiritual blessings or not. And this teacher says, take your books and put them under the table and pull out a single sheet of paper and a pencil. He says, draw a line from top to bottom down the center of that paper, making two columns. Title the first column, My Life. And he says, draw a little sketch of your house. Draw a sketch of your car, motorcycle. Draw a sketch of the logo of your business that you are building or you want to build or you dream of having your own business. Draw the almighty dollar sign, your salary and all that's involved in your retirements and all that you work for. Try your hobbies. Fishing pole, Danny. That one hurts. Huh? How about your friends and family? Draw some little stick people in this list. Draw a square. And then on the inside, just a little bit in, another square with rounded corners. Two little dots in the bottom. Your television. / computer. Internet. Put a little curly cord going over to the wall or you hooked up to your internet. This is our life. These things are important and they're necessary. The things that God gave us to enjoy and to live a life on this earth. Then he says on the other side of this page, second column, you write the title, His Will. And you draw a book, an open book, the Bible. I've cut a lot of them out of cake. They're nice and they actually look like you'd read them. You draw a little cube and you put a little slot down the top. And figured it out, you put missions on the front of it. Still haven't got it, offering box. Draw a chair that you're going to be filling that chair in the meeting place that God has put you in. Draw one for daddy, a daddy chair, and a mama chair, and a teenage chair, and a baby chair. Draw a couple extra, Danny. You may need them. Draw a circle. And have flames lapping up on this circle as if the world's falling into hell. Because it is, every day. And we with a responsibility to reach that world. Draw a little stick person with a Bible in their hand and they stand in the street and proclaim Jesus Christ. Or put a door in front of that person holding that Bible as they take the gospel door to door, witnessing, testifying. Draw a little river across the bottom. And on one side, put a flag of the United States, and on the top side, put the skull and head and crossbones of wickedness and corruption, being sent to another land to preach the gospel. These are His will. The problem is that these two sides are in a complete conflict with one another. They're in complete conflict. The flesh wars against the spirit. It doesn't want God's will done. Even though we live in the flesh and we have to have all these things in our lives to even exist, to do the will of God, they're at war one to another. I'd like to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head and think of that verse. Do that for me this morning. Think of your life and your house and your car. Think of the business opportunities that you seek for. Wages and salary, retirement funds and offer, for the living expenses, the hobbies, things you give your life for. Think of these friends and family that you love, that you care for. Think of the television and the computer and all these things that fill our minds rather than the Word of God. On the other side is His will. You have the Word of God and its precepts and how it can guide us and lead us and bring us to the point in our lives where we can be spiritually blessed with God in a great way. Think of the offering box and the responsibility that we as believers have to give so that the gospel can be carried, that it can be given out, preached. Think of your attendance record in the congregation, the chairs that many times are empty. Can you imagine the billions of people that are falling into hell because they hear not and have not the gospel of Jesus Christ? This world engulfed in flames and wickedness. The preachers of the gospel, those door knockers, those that carry out the gospel, are you part of those? Are you with those? And maybe there's someone here today that's called to cross that river, to go to another land and actually carry that gospel. You know, I could ask you to draw a circle around those things that are truly your desire and put an X on those things that you give up to gain the spiritual blessing. But your test has already been graded. God knows the intent of your heart, knows what's in your mind. As you think of this test that in your life and where you stand, God already knows. Open your eyes now, if you would. But there's a marvelous thing, brothers and sisters. This isn't the final exam. This isn't the great judgment day. This test score can be changed. You can change your score this moment, this time, in your life. There's still mercy of the Lord. You can decide that you will sacrifice the economic, the physical, worldly blessings for spiritual blessings. And that's what has to be done. We have to decide, I want to be blessed with God. I will stay in the land that the Lord puts me, even through family. I will leave behind the things that I've built so, worked so hard to build and prepare and have. I will go to uncertainty in the hand of the Lord for the promise of His blessing. So my question still is today, this morning, do you really want the blessing of God?